I invite you to take your pew Bibles and turn to page 325 in your Old Testament. Be reading 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. Page 325 in your pew Bibles. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Hold your peace." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Hold your peace." Then Elijah said to him, "Tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went to Jordan. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took the mantle and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "I pray you, let me inherit a double share of your spirit." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, you shall not see me. It shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him over against them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. And they said to him, "Behold, now there are with your servants 50 strong men. Pray, let them go and search for your master, that it may be that the spirit of the Lord has caught him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall not seek." When they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send." They sent therefore 50 men, and for 3 days they sought him, but did not find him. And they came back to him while he's tarried at Jericho. And he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" And now there's a misprint in your bulletin, and I apologize for that. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, page 32 in your New Testament. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." The word of the Lord. Before I begin speaking this morning, I want to apologize for my stumbling delivery. I've not been well this week, but God has graced me with being able to be here, and I thank you for praying for me, those of you that knew that. As we look back over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about Elijah in some detail and his confrontation with Ahab and Jezebel. In chapter 18, we learned the details of Elijah's encounter with the prophets of Baal. This was last week, and how he destroyed the prophets of Baal, disproving that Baal was anything and proving that God was the supreme God, the only God. In chapter 19, we found out that Elijah escaped from Jezebel, running from her, and how God provided for him and how God revealed himself that Elijah was not alone. Beginning in verse 19, Elijah was given specific instructions on how he should anoint his successor. And as you continue reading that chapter 18, you find that Elijah was diligent in doing what he was supposed to do. And he found Elisha, who was plowing with 11 other men, and he was the 12th man in line. He was taking up the rear. Elisha was willing to follow after some conversation. If you recall, if you've read this passage before, and I will kind of recite it to you, that Elijah went past Elisha and cast his mantle on him and kept walking. And Elisha left his oxen and went running after Elijah and asked if he could follow him, but first if he could go back and take care of things, finish his task. And Elisha said, "I have nothing to do with you. If you're going to finish your task," it calls to mind the passage where Jesus had the man say to him, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me go first home and bury my parents." And Jesus said to him, "The man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom." So Elisha was saying to him, "I have nothing to do with you. If you need to finish this task rather than do what God is calling you to do, then go finish that task." Well, Elisha's reaction to that was to go back, kill the oxen that he was using, use the implements for plowing, to build a fire, boil the meat, and serve the other 11 workers. And then he followed Elisha. So we learn a couple of things about Elisha from this encounter. First of all, he was content to take up the rear. He was a man of detail. He was one who was willing to finish the work that was started, but he was content. He didn't need to be up front. He was one who wanted to be the detail man. He was going to finish up the job. Now, he was also a man of quick reaction. The scripture tells us in this particular chapter that as when Elisha cast his mantle on him, Elijah cast his mantle on him, Elisha followed him. Now, that's an impulsive reaction. Then he thought about it. Then he made up his mind. And then when he made up his mind, after it was torn between his two decisions, when Elijah issued the challenge, he made the right decision and followed Elijah. And he stuck with Elijah. He was with Elijah, learning from him during the times of the falls of both kings Ahab and Ahaziah. And his dedication to his master was very obvious as we begin to look at the passage that we just read a while ago in 2 Kings chapter 2. See, Elisha was a man who was a student under one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. And Elisha came to the time whenever he had been instructed by his by his master as to what was going to happen. And apparently, Elijah had informed Elisha that he was going to be taken up. In verses 1 through 3 of the passage, we find the first challenge for Elijah, from Elijah, that Elisha should stay at Gilgal and not go with him because he was going to be taken. Well, Elisha was not going to have anything to do with that. He knew exactly how this day was going to end, and he made a commitment to his master to stay beside him, and he was going to keep that commitment. He wasn't going to stay. He wasn't going to take the easy way out. And we find that the school of the prophets were there. The school of the prophets encouraged him to stick around because, you know, you're going to lose your master. What are you going to do? But Elisha said, "I know what's going on. Hold your peace. Remain quiet. I'm about serving my master. I'm going to stick with him. I'm going to follow him. Hold your peace." The same scenario is repeated as they're on their way to Jericho in verses 4 through 5 with the same result. The prophets challenge. The prophets encourage him to stick around, not to go on. Elisha says, "No, I'm going on. Hold your peace." Now there's a difference though in the third scenario, and that's verses 6 and 7. And I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it from a different translation, but I think you will understand what I'm saying. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together. Now notice the difference in verse 7. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Nobody challenged them this time. They gathered a group. Every time they stopped before, men gathered, men followed, men wanted to see what was going on. It's interesting, as you look at the scripture, you find whenever prophets did great things, there was usually a crowd around to watch and see what was happening. Well, these men went because, probably for two reasons. They didn't know exactly what Elisha was going to do as soon as his master was taken, and they also wanted to see what was going to happen to Elijah. They told Elisha what was going to happen. They had told Elisha that he needed to stick around and not go with Elijah because this was something between God and Elijah. But Elisha knew that there was more involved here. Elisha knew what he needed to do, and he was going to stick with his master. These men, these 50 men, were going to go along and see exactly what was going to go on with this, because this was going to shape their lives as well. See, Elijah had asked Elisha to consider sticking around with the prophets and letting him go on, because it was obvious they all knew that Elisha had been mentored by Elijah. There would have been no question about his status. There would have been nothing to stop him from becoming a part of the prophets. But Elijah and Elisha, I believe, both knew that there was something more in store for Elisha, more than what these men of the prophets knew as they were following along. Now, there are two things we've learned about Elisha so far. First of all, he was a very diligent man. He was one who saw tasks through to the conclusion. Remember, he was following up the other 11 plowing. And secondly, he was dedicated. There was nothing that was going to take him from his master. No matter what was said, no matter what he was encouraged to do, he was going to stick with his master. Now the third thing we notice about Elisha is this, that he was deliberate. I'm going to be reading verses 8 and 9. It says, "Then Elijah folded his mantle together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away.' And Elisha replied, 'Please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor.'" That's a big request, is it not? Not necessarily one that Elijah could grant, but it was one that Elijah could give answer from God about. The fact that he was deliberate enabled him to be direct when asked what he wanted, what he desired. He had been with his master in action. He had seen him. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew how to do what he needed to do. He knew that he was to succeed his master. And he knew in order to be successful, he needed a double portion of the spirit that was on Elisha. Elisha was determined. The next verse he says, "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken up from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. The conditions were stated. If Elisha was going to be his successor, if Elisha was going to receive what he'd asked for, he had to stick to Elijah like glue. I don't imagine there was much distance between them. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us, we go on reading, that they were so close together that God sent a chariot of fire with horses of fire down between them to separate them. I think that would cause you to separate. I mean, I think if I'm standing there and fire shoots down from heaven, I'm going to jump away. But the interesting thing is that Elisha does not take his eyes off of Elijah. Even in the midst of scampering for his own life, he does not take his eyes off of Elisha. And he sees him ascend by a whirlwind up into heaven. He cries, "My father, the chariots of God and the horsemen thereof." And he's gone. But he left his mantle, his cloak. You remember the cloak? The cloak that Elijah struck the water with? The cloak that was around him, the same cloak did Elisha remember whenever he was plowing in the field that day when Elijah came by and cast that same robe, that mantle, on him and continued walking? Did he remember that? The Bible tells us that he tore his own clothes and picked up the mantle and carried it back to the Jordan, wrapped it together, and stood on the bank and cried, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And struck the water, and it parted. The hour of decision was here, and Elisha acted, and he knew at that moment that he had what he'd requested. And so did those 50 prophets standing on the other side of the river. Can you imagine them standing there wondering what's going to happen next? As Elisha comes back to the bank of the Jordan River and the waters part and he walks across, there was no doubt at that point who was Elisha's successor. There was no doubt that God had put his spirit on Elisha. And as you continue reading the miracles of Elisha, the works that he did, the things that he said, the things that the actions he took, you will find twice as many actions as those of Elijah. It's amazing. But it's all because Elisha was willing to diligently seek after what he desired from the Lord. But there's another part of this too. He is also willing to accept the responsibility that was given to him. And this is the point of this message this morning. The passage I read to you from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, was better known as Jesus' Great Commission. But what this really was for his disciples and ultimately for us was the passing of his mantle to us. You see, Jesus gave us an active command. The active verb is not to go. The active is make disciples. As we are going, we are to make disciples. The mantle has been cast on our shoulders. The responsibility is ours to take the gospel to those who need to hear. The responsibility has been passed on to us. And we, like Elisha, must stand on the bank of that Jordan and by faith strike that water and expect the result of seeing people come to Christ because we are willing to share the message that we have. The mantle is before us. It's been cast upon us. Will we take our responsibility seriously as long as God has us on this earth? Father, thank you so much for your word, for your love, for your presence, for your power, for your willingness to give us the opportunities to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.